not here for a show or anything like that. You're here to worship the Lord. Just want to let you know, every Lord's Day here on Sunday at 9 o'clock, there's a worship service for the Lord. We just sang how worthy He is, and He is very worthy, right? He took our sin, and He bore it on the tree, and so every Sunday morning from 9 to 9:30, there's a special worship service, and we would love for you to come if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, to worship the Lord with us from that little half hour. So love to see you come out to that if you're willing and able. Well, it's good to be back with you. Kara and I are here just for the day, and we're excited about the end of school, I can tell you that, as we've got about a month to go, and we're looking forward to the summertime as that's quickly upon us. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we get into His Word this morning, and let's ask for His help and guidance as we get started. Lord, we come before You and we just sang about how worthy You are. And You're worthy because You took our sin as we sang. You took all of our sins, Lord. The public sins, the private sins, the hidden sins. Nothing, of course, is hidden to You, but hidden to other people. And You took them all. And You bore them on the tree. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. That's why we're here today. We want to say thank You. And Lord, we're also here today to learn from what Your Word says. And so I pray that today will be easy to understand, that it will be something that we can relate to and then put into practice. So Lord, give help in every way. And we look forward to reading what Your Word has to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles if you can find it. It's one of those books that's kind of tough to find. Ezekiel. It's one of those like, whoa, I wish you would have said John. I can find John. But Ezekiel's kind of one of those tough ones. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, we'll start with 37. Ezekiel 37. We want to talk today about a topic that as Tom was praying, is kind of the big topic on everybody's news channel. It's this war that we're involved in Iran. And what does the Bible say about Iran, number one? And then we want to kind of end our day with, what would Jesus say about this war in Iran? What would he say? So, well, let's see what the Bible says about Iran and Israel. And then just kind of a wrap up, try to make it really practical. So, you know, 2 months ago, the United States sent a lot of naval power and air power towards Iran. And Iran is a country that has been awfully bold in their desires to get nuclear capabilities and bombs, and they have attacked us in various ways. I don't know my history quite as well to be able to spit it out here, but I think they attacked one of our ships, and I think it's the USS Cole, if I'm not mistaken. Boy, I hope I'm not saying this wrong. They got us in Beirut, if I'm not mistaken. But they've definitely wanted to get us. They call us the Great Satan. And when we say Iran, we don't mean the average citizen, right? We're talking about their government, they obviously are against Israel, and they would love to get Israel wiped off the map. They call Israel the little Satan. So their desire was to get a nuclear bomb, and so they were getting closer and closer and closer, and we decided that it was time to prevent this from happening. And so with Israel, the United States sent over, as you're well aware, all of these ships and planes, and the war started. News is that there's a ceasefire and that maybe we'll see some sort of a peace come to that region. We'll see how that all plays. And so what we want to do is to say, well, what does the Bible say? Okay, I don't have all my facts in front of me as far as the history about them attacking us. I wish that's one thing, and doggone, as I'm thinking about this thing, I should have had that written down right here. So if I got that wrong about the USS Cole in Beirut, don't hold that against me. What does the Bible say about Iran? You know, when we get into prophecy, we're talking about a subject that covers about a fourth, some may even say a third, of the Bible. And yet prophecy is a subject that oftentimes is pushed over to the side. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it because people have made statements before and they'll say, well, see, nothing's come of that. Sometimes prophecy is considered to be very intimidating. Well, I don't understand. It's kind of tricky, and it is. We need to tread very humbly when it comes to prophecy. Very humbly. But you know, God has given us prophecy for a reason, and it's not to necessarily trip us up. It's so we'll learn, right? It is a subject that I even today will tread very carefully in my statements. But prophecy is given to us for a reason, and it's not to so we'll be scared to study it because the various viewpoints, but prophecy prepares us. It gets us ready. It gets our brains right. Because there is things that God has showed us in His Word that's going to come about. It warns us of things. It helps us to encourage our heart as we look forward to the day when Jesus comes back or we die and go to be with Him. And it helps us when we look at the news to kind of start connecting dots. And so we're not so scared. This is supposed to happen. As one lady who I really respect, Jan Markell, who has a prophecy website and used to have a great talk show, would say, she says, you know, when you think about the end times and prophecy, she says, don't say, it's all falling apart. This world's just falling apart. Well, I can see why we would say that. But she says a better statement is, it's all falling into place. It's like a puzzle. The pieces are coming together. And yes, that does include the world falling apart. But you got to remember, it's all coming together as planned through prophecy. And so always remember that. Once we start connecting dots, we'll start saying, God, You've already told us all this, haven't You? Wow. Hey, this doesn't scare me. This prepares me. Right? And so it's a motivating factor. God said this in the book of Amos. This is another prophet. He says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals it, His secret, to His servants, the prophets. So God's going to do what He's going to do, but He's going to let us know about it. Right? Yes, there are different opinions. Prophecy is things which are yet to come. And there are, as we try to put the pieces together, there are some... You know, it's like putting puzzles. This piece looks like it fits right here. And you put it, not quite. well, it's got to look like, it's got to have this. So I got to look around. It's got like a little piece of the blue there. I got to find a piece with blue. And not quite. And so, you know, it takes a while for the pieces to clearly come into play, right? But God has told us, and God has told us about Iran. He has told us about Iran. One of the key things as we get started today, and any time really, is we want to keep our antennas up. We want to have our Bibles out while we're watching the news, so to speak. We want to understand what's going on. As this verse says, the sons of Issachar, they understood what was going on. They understood the times to know what Israel ought to do. And so we need to have this same understanding to where we're not caught off guard, we're not worried, we're not fearful. We should know what's going to happen. Again, three quick things I want to just say before we get started. There are different opinions. Okay? We need to tread humbly. It's when you think about the winds, when will it happen, right? Let's just put that, right? You know, there's different ideas of when the rapture will take place. Now, you and I might think very strongly about where we stand on that issue, but there are fine Christians who disagree, right? As to the winds, right? We need to be patient as we watch these things happen, this Iran war. We need to let the current events play out. You know, let's don't just say, see, this right here means... Well, let's hold on. Let's take a step, take a breath, and let's watch it play out. And the other thing, never, ever let current events dictate what the Bible says. You always start with the Bible, and then you look at current events. It cannot go the other way. Okay? So, always remember that. Take a step back and say, okay, this is what's going on. Let's just let it play out. But the Word of God says this is what we need to expect. Always keep that in mind. So, as we think about, you know, this war and Iran, let's make sure we understand where it's at, right? We live in an age where geography, we don't use maps as much. I love maps. I'm a history teacher. I do this. I love history. I like maps. I like studying. I could look at a map all day. It's maps, plural. I love them. Love them. I have a map literally in my brand new car, It's new to me. I used to drive a bomb. So my used car is kind of a new car for me. Okay? But, you know, it's got the GPS thing. You know what I keep right beside my thing? An old map. The old Rand McNally, whatever that thing was called. You know what I'm talking about? The big old joker. I like to use that thing. Well, I don't do it often, but sometimes if I'm going into a new place, I like to hold that map while I'm driving. And I want to see where I'm at. I love it. I love maps. Right? Okay. Who cares if you love maps, Jeff? It doesn't matter. All right. We see where Israel is. Very small country. It's about the size of New Jersey. And then we got Iran. It's very, very big, right? Over to the east. And some of these countries today that you can kind of make out, like Turkey, right? We're gonna be talking about. First off, when is Iran in the Bible? Well, you're never going to find the word Iran in the Bible. Just like you don't see the word Trinity in the Bible, but that doesn't mean it's not there, right? So, I mean, the Trinity is obviously taught in the Scriptures. Iran is in the Bible. It's just known as Persia. For instance, you remember the story of Esther, right? So that was the story when, you know, she was living in this region of Iran, Persia. Daniel, of course, was taken captive and came to, well, what was Babylon, but as we're going to see today, was defeated by Persia. Okay. So Iran is known as Persia in the Bible, and as we said, Babylon is the big country who's going to, you know, kind of take some of the Jewish young boys, influential teenagers, girls, whatever, and they take them to Babylon. But again, Persia will defeat Babylon. And then, of course, we're going to see this, that the whole region of Iran was under various peoples. They were under Babylon. They were under Greece. The Romans would come along. The Byzantines and the Muslims. And then something very fascinating happened when you guys would remember this. Not this one. Not 1935. Sorry. That's my next click of my thing. But Iran became Iran in 1935. But here's the one I was referencing. You remember this. In 1979, Iran was very friendly towards us for many, you know, many years. But 1979, you remember the revolution. Remember when Jimmy Carter was having a hard time getting, you know, running against Reagan, 1980. They took our hostages, if you remember. And when Reagan became president, on the very day he gave his inaugural address, I believe, is when the Iranians turned over the hostages. But since 1979, with the Iranian Revolution, they've been very hostile towards us and towards Israel. Again, not the Iranian citizens, but we're talking about this, the Ayatollahs and their regime, right? Well, the Bible talks about Persia in prophecies. And I want to just quickly go through this. All right, let me go back. So we're going to look at the future, and I've got to keep this thing right there. I can say this every sermon. But I got to turn it backwards 20 minutes to make sure. We know that the Bible is true about the future because it always tells the truth. We've already seen that in the past. We can trust it for the future because it's always told the truth previously. Here's an example, very quickly. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about these nations, right? And you see Babylon, you see Persia, remember that's Iran, modern day. And you see that Daniel makes these, you know, chronological descents of one after the other. And we see that he spit it out very, very quickly that Persia would defeat Babylon and that Greece would defeat Persia. Now, Daniel wrote this about this prophecy that the Medo-Persians would fall to Greece. This was a prophecy. This was before it happened. We go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7 tells us that Persia, again, these are in animals, whereas previously we're looking at a statue. We're looking at types of metals, right? Gold, silver, brass, iron, etc. But when you get to Daniel 7, he uses animals. Babylon is looked at as a lion. The Medo-Persians, you see how one side is leaning towards the other because Persia would dominate the Medo part of that. It was stronger. Then it would be defeated by a leopard with four heads. And it was very fast, this leopard, which represented Alexander the Great and his speed, how he conquered the known world. And when he died, Greece was divided up into four sections by his four generals. Very, very specific prophecy coming out of Daniel, isn't that? Isn't that something? We go to Daniel 8. And again, he uses animals. And Medo-Persia is this lamb, this sheep. And it's defeated by this goat with two horns. One horn was longer than the other one. Again, talking about the speed. Sorry, the goat has this long horn and is defeated by Alexander the Great. So we know that prophecy about Iran is going to come true because the prophecies have been true in the past. Okay, said all that to say, okay, what does the Bible say about it for today? Look at your Bibles, please, at Ezekiel 37, and let's start at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Whew, that's kind of gross. You're sitting in a valley full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know that. Okay, let me just pause. These bones represent Israel. And they're dead. Next verse. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And he watches, he looks, and sure enough, the tendons and the flesh appear, etc., etc. And he keep going. I'm not reading all these, but he says, how are they going to come to life? And let's look at verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up out of them. All right, let's start. You ready? This prophecy in Ezekiel 37 says that Israel, who was defeated by the Romans in 70, right after Jesus died and rose again and ascended back up into heaven, the Romans came and wiped out the Jews and they scattered. They just went all over the world. Their land was gone. But God says, no, no, I'm going to put life into you. I'm going to bring you back. These bones, right, were dried up, but I'm going to put tendons on them. I'm going to breathe life in them. And I'm going to bring you back to Israel. Guess what happened? In 1948, Israel became a nation again. That is one of the big boy prophecies. That is a big boy prophecy. As far as the end times is concerned, Israel becoming a nation again happened in 1948. Okay, so that's Ezekiel 37. Well, guess what happens after Ezekiel 37? We got to go to 38. Look at Ezekiel 38, and let's see what happens with Iran. The word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man, set your face against Gog, this is a person, of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, yours might say of the nation of Rosh as well. The translations, there's a different opinion about this translation here. Okay, the chief priests of Meshech and Tubal, possibly Rosh, and prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn you around. I'll put hooks in your jaws. And I'll bring you out with the whole army. All your horses, your horsemen, fully armed. And a great horde and a large and small shields. All of them brandishing their swords. Look at the next word. Persia will be with you. Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, all with shields and helmets. Also Gomer with all of its troops, and Beth Togarmah from the far north, with all its troops, the many nations with you. Get ready. When will this happen? Get ready. Be prepared. You and all the hordes gathered about you, and take command of them. After many days, you will be called to arms. When will this happen? In the latter years, or in future years. You will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations, talking about the Jews, to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. Let's just pause there and just kind of do a quick little... All right, so in Ezekiel 37, Israel's going to come back to their land. That happened in 1948. In Ezekiel 38, God says, there's going to be a guy named Gog who's going to come with all these armies, including Iran, and he's going to attack Israel. And it's going to happen in the latter years, or in the future years, meaning the end times. Okay. So, again, Gog is a person, but these lands that are mentioned, the land of Magog, etc., we need to try to go humbly here, because Magog is not a place on the map from Rand McAnally. I can't find Magog, because that's an old times, that was way back in the day, Magog and Meshach and Tabul, all these are old time names. So we gotta do some humble walking here, and I'll try to show you what people who are much smarter than me say. But they're going to attack Israel. People who have been gathered back from many nations. That happened in 1948. If you look at verse 15, it says that Gog is going to come. Well, here it is. I put it up on the screen for you, but you got it in your lap. If you look at verse 38, Gog is going to come from his place in the far north. He's going to bring these many nations, including Iran, with him. Now, this is where we tread humbly. There are different opinions, but let's just go as logical as we can. When you take Israel and you go far north, that's Russia. Again, there are different opinions, and I'm gonna go cautious here, okay? You got to do your own research. But when you go far north, that's Russia up there. So it's not a stretch to say that Russia is going to be one of these countries in the end times who's going to say, let's go get Israel. That is not a stretch. Try not to be dogmatic. Okay, there are different opinions. But that's not a stretch to say that Russia is from the far north. Now, we get into these other nations. Again, there's different opinions. But let me just use one guy who, David Jeremiah, by the way, believes that Russia is that country, Rosh. I know we all like David Jeremiah. And so Russia, he would say, is this country, Rosh. If you look on the thing, right? Some of your translations will say he's the chief prince of, and then other translations say he's over this country, Rosh. David Jeremiah believes it's from Russia. Another guy that I'll mention, this is where I'm getting most of my info here from this screen in particular, and he helped me with the whole message, of course, but this book that I read by Mark Hitchcock. He's a former pastor out of a church in Oklahoma. And I think he used to be a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. So when it says, according to one book I read, this is what a man who's much smarter than me, he's written many, many books on prophecy. He believes that Magog is the Stan nations, you know, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, you know, all these Stan nations, right? So they would be underneath Russia, basically. Russia used, the Soviet Union used to have all those, but these are the Stan nations. Musak and Tubal, modern day Turkey. I'll show you another map. Libya. Gomer, maybe Turkey. He thinks it's Turkey. Some people say Germany. But Persia in red, that's a slam dunk. That's Iran. And we ain't debating that. I mean, we can. We can. Don't want to be dogmatic. But I'm pretty sure on that one. Sudan is another one. Turkey's a big name if you see it up there. Turkey's an interesting country because Turkey's kind of got one foot with us and one foot with them. You know, they're part of NATO, right? It's kind of, they're a strange, they're trying to play both of us. They're trying to be friends with us and trying to be friends with them. Here's a map that may help you. There's different opinions even on this one, but the key point is that they basically are not friends with Israel. Muslim, all of them are Muslim, unless Gomer is Germany. Germany's not Muslim, although there's a lot of Muslims migrating in. Of course, Russia being Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or just communist, just atheist. But basically, the rest of them are Muslim. And Israel's caught in the middle. So it's not a stretch when you think about Iran being allied with Russia. It's not a stretch at all because Russia's helping them right now. Russia's giving them intelligence on drones and satellite. You know, this is where the Americans are, and this is, you know, whatever. Da 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 da. Russia's very active in the Sudan, which is an area where they want a naval base. Russia is involved in Libya. They're looking for resources over there. Turkey is trying to work. Turkey's not a huge fan of Iran necessarily because you get the Shiites versus the Sunnis, and it's a little bit of, but they don't like Israel. So that's the common thing, right? So Libya's kind of they're the one you kind of got to watch, really, because they're smiling, but they're going to stab you in the back, kind of. But they don't like Israel. So why don't they like Israel? Well, Israel's got resources, believe it or not, especially in the Mediterranean. They evidently have got oil out in their part of the Mediterranean. But I think the biggest reason is it's satanic. Satan hates Israel. And Satan wants to eliminate all the Jews. You know why? Because Satan knows what's been prophesied against him. His head's going to get crushed. Satan knows his doom is coming. But he's still trying. He's trying to figure out a way to get out of it. And here's how he wants to do it. You ready? If he can eliminate every Jew, he's going to say, "Hey, Jesus, what's the point of you coming to be their king? Because there is no more people for you to be king over. I killed them all. So there's no reason for you to come and be the king." See, that's his plan. He wants to eliminate all the Jews. He tried with Hitler. He's tried with, you know, during the days of Esther. He wants to get out of going to hell forever. He's trying his hardest to eliminate all the Jews. So what's going to happen? Let's look at it. Look at 39. All right, so turn the page, go to Ezekiel 39. What's going to happen when this war takes place? "Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along." What does that mean? Well, it could be that if this is Russia who is the ringleader, maybe Iran, it's not a stretch. This is not a stretch to say that if, let's say, America beats Iran here. Of course, we're dropping a lot of bombs. And do we trust the media and all they're telling us? I'll let you decide all that. But, you know, what we hear is we're doing a pretty good job. Now, whether that's right or not, I mean, you know, we'll see. But let's say we win. Iran is going to be very embarrassed. And it's not a stretch for Iran to say, you know what? Let's get revenge. Hey, Putin, how you doing? Yeah, this is Iran. Look here, man. You're the only one. Would Turkey come with you? You think we can get Turkey? Hey, let's go get them, man. Yeah, hey, I know you don't want to. You over there fighting Ukraine. I know. Look here, man. I need to save face, man. Hey, let's go get them. That's not a stretch. And Russia may not want to go, but look what it says. God says, I'm going to drag you down there. I will bring you from the far north and send you against the mountains of Israel. And then I'm going to strike you. I'm going to strike your bow from the left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel, you will fall. You and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of birds and to the wild animals. Carrion birds and to all the wild animals. You will fall into open field, for I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. So God is going to destroy this nation, this group of nations who's going to attack. So the question is, well, when? When will this happen? Again, you got to go very lightly on this, right? We can't be dogmatic, but there are some clues. Go back to 37:12. Okay? The first thing is, we see there, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. All right. So, the first thing is the Jews have got to be back in the land. Check. They're back in the land, 1948. Second thing, clues. It's going to happen in the latter years, which means it's getting close to the end times. Okay, well, when is that? Well, a lot of people think obviously every day we're getting close. I mean, yes, of course. But when you start putting all the things together, finding the pieces of the puzzle, and putting the puzzle together, we're getting close. It would seem. It may be another 100 years. It might be 500 years. But boy, you can make a strong case that we're in the latter days. Check it out in verse 38, the way Israel's going to be. I got it on the screen. You can look at it. Look at me. Israel will be dwelling in safety, unwalled villages. They'll be peaceful, unsuspecting, living in safety. Hey, listen, it's not a stretch. Let's say we win this war. Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, let's say they're all taken care of. It's not a stretch to say Israel will be at peace. I'm not being dogmatic. I'm just saying it's not a stretch. And it's not a stretch to see where Iran would want revenge. It's not a stretch. There's another thing that's going to happen. If we look at chapter 39, verses 9 and 10, it says that after this war, guess how long it's going to take to clean up? 7 years. Now that phrase 7 years should ring a bell if you know the chronology of the end times, because the tribulation is 7 years. So we can't be dogmatic, but we know it's going to happen. This war will happen, and we know it's going to happen too because of the fulfilled prophecies already. That gives us the confidence to know. So, we believe here at Grove Park Chapel that the rapture is going to happen before the 7 years, there it is, The 7-year tribulation. If it takes 7 years to clean up from the war, again, I do not want to be dogmatic. But it's not a stretch to say that the rapture is going to happen first and then they're going to attack. And if the pieces of the puzzle are coming together, that means we're pretty close to the rapture. I mean, praise the Lord. We'll be with the Lord forever and ever. May it happen today. But that's a very strong possibility. It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch. Now, where are we today? I don't know. Maybe we're right there. We're just days, months, years away, maybe, from the rapture. So when does Gog attack? There's various people. Some think it happens during the millennium. Some think it happens right at the very beginning of the tribulation. Some say it's right before the rapture. Do your own study. Like I said, it is not a stretch to say that it could happen right before the rapture. Okay, my clock is tick, tick, ticking away. It will happen. Iran will attack Israel, and God will defeat them. People from the far north will come. It's not a stretch to say that's Russia. Turkey is another country that evidently is going to be heavily involved. What would Jesus want us to know as we wrap up? What would Jesus say about this war? I think the first thing Jesus would want us to know is, hey, I've already got the puzzle already figured out. I'm in control of it. I know exactly when it's going to happen. You might not, but I do. So don't fear. Don't worry yourself. I got it. It's all right. I got it. Things are falling into place. That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? If I was riding an airplane during a turbulence, right, a storm, I would love it if the guy came on.
Attention, attention. This is your captain speaking from the cockpit. I know it's a little bit turbulent today, but I've got my license and I've driven through 1 million of these. Don't you worry about a thing. Sit back and enjoy the flight.
I mean, I put my head back and go to sleep. He's got it. He's got it. Second thing. Jesus says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? Some of you in here, I don't know you. I don't know most of you. I've seen your faces, but I don't really know you. Maybe some of you have been coming here all your life. You've been to the Gospel Center. You sat under Mr. Detweiler for all those years. But you're still not sure. If you died today, if you go to heaven, today's your day. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. But here's the other thing. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, are you reaching out? Are you reaching out? We could be very, very close. These are two websites I want you to consider writing down if you're taking notes or whatever. You don't have to, but let's say you're sitting here saying, man, what can I do for the people, the Jewish people who need to hear about Jesus, their Messiah? And what about the Iranians, the citizens in Iran? Y'all, do you know that there's many, many, many Iranians coming to Christ? I mean, it's a huge revival in Iran. Many of those people are becoming Christians. Go to that website if you'd like. It's called Iran Alive. And there's this ministry here in America run by an Iranian, and he is beaming over satellite, because, you know, the Iranian government is not letting them use, you know, internet or whatever. He's somehow satelliting his stuff over. And there, many of them are getting saved. Jews for Jesus is another great organization that you can tap into, send monies to, whatever, to help out, get the gospel out. Two great organizations I would highly recommend. But lastly, are you saved? If you get in your car today and that wind blows you into a ditch and you hit a tree, where are you going? Jesus says, I love you. We sang about it. I died on the cross for all your sins. But you got to accept me. You got to say yes to me. Jesus, I want to trust you for salvation. I believe you died for me, and I'm putting my whole faith in you. Have you done that? Is he your Savior? He loves you. That's what he'd say about Iran. Let's pray. Lord, your word is true, and it gives us comfort as we look at the news every night and we wonder what it's all about, what's going to happen. Lord, the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Lord, help us as we think about these things. Lord, we need to be saved, number one. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here that's not saved, God, speak to them. Lord, save their souls. And I pray, Lord, for us as we think about how to help get the word out. Lord, we live with neighbors who need you, and people at work who need you, and retirees that need you. And Lord, help us to reach out. Oh God, you're a good God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd love to talk with you. I'll be up here. Just come by and say hello. Let's sing.